Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. You heard Big Voice Man. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula, Figgy Figs right here. And you guys getting involved with the program on the text line, 713-572-4610. And on the Mulcairn Injury Lawyers live streams, both the YouTube page and the Twitch chat. Remember, you can take us wherever you go. You can get to us however you choose. There's all sorts of apps. Obviously, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio app, TuneIn app. There's obviously Terrestrial, both on 610 AM and then also 100.3 HD2.
Yeah,
there we go. I always make sure I slow down through that one like it's a school zone,
because
I'm like,
sure.
Yeah, I'm like, let me make sure I don't hit the curb or nothing on
all right,
this.
I'm
one.
Going 22. That's good.
Exactly. Right. So, but there's a lot. Exactly. So there's a lot of different ways to listen to us.
Clint, you're the best.
100%. That might be the best pitch man that exists. Oh, I was meaning to mention this in What's Poppin'. I'm just going to do it real quick. Mm-hmm. Cougs, basketball, playing again today, seeing if they can stay undefeated. I will promise you that they will.
I promise you.
If they do,
you ain't going to put your house on it, though.
I don't have a house. Look at you thinking that I own things. That's cute. But yeah, they're playing a team that they should absolutely dispatch tonight.
So. Duke?
They are not playing Duke. They are not playing the boot.
I'm always nervous when people do that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is a 100% lock.
100%. Like, oh, my goodness. If they lose this basketball game, we going to have a conversation tomorrow.
If they lose, you got to quit your job on the spot.
Hey, brother.
Okay, show.
I'd rather dye my hair than do that.
I can't get over a show did that one.
He said if he lose to Patrick Creighton in the race, he would quit.
That was so mean. It was so unnecessary, too.
By the way, I saw Patrick Creighton in the bathroom. I think he's losing.
Where are you going here?
I think he's losing some LBs.
Oh, brother. I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm glad that landed the way that it did.
Hey, can we send a special thoughts and prayers to Patrick Creighton?
For what?
Oh, no.
He lost his Twitter, man.
He's gotten it back since.
Did he? Okay. Yeah, Same account.
Okay. Yeah, man. But if you are on social media, you might
don't click the link, man.
Don't click the link. Keep your login on.
Ain't nobody working with Spotify to co-host anything. Don't click that link.
That's right.
All right. Let's go back to the Sunday that was for your Houston Texans, especially on offense. We know the defense balled out of control. Well, the offense, they did a little bit of complimentary starting late in the third. Well, not starting necessarily, but really accentuated late in the third quarter. They went on that run, and they had 26 fourth quarter points. Obviously, offense itself had 20 fourth quarter points in order to go and get that comeback victory. And in doing that, it felt like there were some things that got either fixed or it looked resolved on the day. How much of that, or which of those things feel the most sustainable, John Lopez?
All right, so let me go through them.
Okay, let's do it.
You may not, I mean, I think these were all improvements on the offense. I'm going to go through six elements of the Texans offense against the Jaguars.
Okay.
And I'm going to add a little extra question for you for bonus points.
Sure. I love bonus points.
Which one of these?
I needed those to pass some classes.
Extra credit. Which one of these is most likely to be sustainable moving forward?
Uh-huh.
Which one is least likely to be sustainable?
Very good. Okay. Like
I think they were better in these six areas. Offensive line.
Very much so. That definitely showed up in this game, if for no other reason than I vividly remember seeing one of those possessions. I think it was late third quarter, very, very late third quarter, or early fourth quarter.
They were moving.
Oh,
yeah.
There are situations where yards before contact just is a money machine of sorts, where you're looking at Woody Marks and you're like, damn, he ain't never seen push like this in his short career as a Texan.
Nobody touched me. Red zone?
100%.
I think there were 3 out of 4, right?
Right.
Woody Marks in the running back rotation.
Okay. So, obviously, him being the lead back and then really getting a lion's share of the snaps in this game. Okay.
Dalton Schultz as a weapon. I mean, I think we've all said, kind of hinted around, like, he's having a pretty good year. He was a weapon.
Capital W, weapon, downfield, attacking, big play in the end zone on the back line. Yeah, okay.
Nico.
Just Nico, just period.
Nico, you know what? You know the rest.
What was it, 170 yards, something like that?
46, something. I don't know what it was.
A lot of them.
But you know the rest. Nico.
Just a big number.
And the last one I think that they showed some definite improvement, young receivers.
Okay.
I think Higgins and Noel combined for 9 catches, maybe 10, if I'm remembering that correctly. So of those 6 things, which one of these things on the offense, because we've qualified it. We qualified it at Monday a little bit. You know, it is the Jaguars.
I'm a qualifying fool, baby. There's all sorts of qualifiers.
It was the Jaguars. Which one of those is most sustainable?
And by the way, Noel and Higgins combined for 77 yards in this game.
How many catches?
9 catches, 77 yards between them. And, of course, the touchdown for Jaden Higgins on that left side of the field. This is really interesting. I think the one that should be the easiest to sustain is the running back rotation. I think that is the one that should be.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yes, I am. Because it does feel like, it feels like this has been the one where, this and another one I think has also been the ones where they've trended the most towards this direction.
Yeah,
and the
previous games.
The one where they've had, well, I was about to say that they've had the least step backs on. And this is probably the one that makes some of the most sense here, in that I think, They saw very clear evidence of it. We heard D'Amico even mention it in, I think it was Monday's availability, where he talked about
name.
Nick Chubb looked explosive with the snaps that he got.
Yeah.
It feels like very much they've been leaning towards this. They have confirmation of this. Woody Marks running the football, especially when he gets some blocks, looks better when he has more opportunities. He's solid in pass protection when you need him to. And then Chubb looked like a better version of himself, being more of the second back. Now, I don't know if the split remains that drastic as it was in this game, but I do think that they are settling very comfortably into the idea that Woody Marks is the number one back.
I kind of raised an eyebrow there and made a funny sound when you said Woody Marks, because I'm not sure.
Buddy, I'm not sure about much when it comes to decisions on this team.
I'm not sure the way they make decisions. That hell, we were perplexed by the decision, a lot of decisions to start this game.
What up, City? So
I'm not sure, but I think he's probably 1A. I think he is up there. I think they are going to lean more heavily toward Woody Marks.
Can I press pause?
Yeah.
When we do that, why do we say 1A as if 1A isn't the one that you put on top, right? If you're subdividing this.
No, 1A is the second one.
If you're subdividing one, it'd be 1A, 1B, 1C.
All depends on how you interpret it. I interpret it.
Continue, because we're just going to have a fight about something.
It seemed like 1A would be the top choice.
That's what he said.
Over 1.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. I appreciate your sensibility in this moment.
I'm the last person to be the guy on this.
He just did that hand gesture like he was in a barbershop. Thank you.
That's exactly what all this is now. We've just devolved into barbershop talk.
He did whoop Joe Lewis's ass.
He did whip his ass.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
But to me, one is Dalton Schultz. I think Dalton Schultz is a weapon for this offense. So that I think they can rely on him. He's been making consistent plays, and now he took it a step higher this last weekend. I think it's those two things. Which one is least sustainable?
The offensive line feels like one that is the case. Because I think we're just talking about performance, mm-hmm. but we don't even have to go that far. Do you know who your best five are?
Exactly.
Are you certain that they know who their best five are? And I don't think you can give an answer of yes. Like, if you give an answer of yes, your why, right, your explanation, we only have to give you a couple of sheets of loose leaf paper mm-hmm. for you to write that out. Do the kids even do that on loose leaf anymore? I just thought about that.
I don't know.
When they have to answer that, do they have any written questions? Is this all multiple choice? Sorry. Right. Anyways, I don't really have a good answer because they came out and the way that they started that game felt like they didn't have good answers. And I understand that, you know, you had Titus out, but the way that they started that game mm-hmm. felt like they did not have answers.
Right.
And the one thing, I can give you one particular move, and it's not City So at the right guard. It's the idea that a position where they had been rotating two dudes, that they felt two good dudes were capable mm-hmm. of starting at, neither of them started in this game for no real reason at all. That's the thing that goes, oh, we're in the Wild West just putting anything up here. So, no, I don't know who you put out there. And then on top of that, the type of push that you got felt abnormal to the point where I'm looking over the Jaguars like, what did y'all do?
Yeah. Well, see, I think offensive line, as much as we've criticized them and been confused by some of the decisions they've making, based on the guys coming back, presuming Ed Ingram comes back, and Titus Howard perhaps moving to guard with...
assuming that he... I think today will be very interesting to see if those guys...
They'll be taking the field in about 45 minutes.
If those guys are mm-hmm. off of protocol or what
minutes.
Have you. Now, to be fair, I want to make this note because this is happening. DeMeco is not speaking today as he normally will. I think that is because he is out of pocket. I believe he is attending some level of service or what have you for... his fallen friend, Ed Cochran, who had passed.
Earl Cochran,
apologies, who had passed recently. So I think that is something that is switched around his at least availability today.
I think offensive line should be higher on the list of sustainable based on what we saw from Trent Brown and getting these other guys. You know, Titus at left guard has never been a problem or not much of one. Ed Ingram has had a good year. But I'm with you. I think it's the one that I have the least confidence about. Because I don't know what they're thinking, you know, when it comes to the offensive line.
Yeah, and I don't know what to expect either, man. That's right. Something that's kind of inconsistent, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as good as Trent Brown played, I don't know if that's a week-to-week type of thing,
that's
if he can play
too.
On that level, because he ain't playing a long time.
And
that was his first game in a long time.
I might be making too much of this. The idea that he had to go get an x-ray after the game did not instill very much confidence that this is going to be a sustainable long-term possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love as much, and he seems very much to be the type of dude that if there's a possibility, let me go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just don't know what that ultimately means for the ultimate outcome. But you know what? When you say sustainable, I imagine you're talking about long-term. Even short term, it's a possibility because, again, this is where I start looking at what the Titans are bringing you.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I look about is they do have a dominant force on the inside. Can they, with the guards that they have, continue to do this, especially if Ed Ingram
comes back? The game within the game, you know, obviously I think we all expect the Texans to win this one and maybe relatively comfortably. But the game within the game, that's going to be a big test.
Yeah.
Yeah, the inside.
All right.
You know what's funny real quick?
Yes, please.
None of us mentioned Nico.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I was going to go because you have three receiver-type guys in here when you talk about Dalton Schultz being the weapon, having the ability to, and they've gotten to him in some of those ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Dalton have some of these opportunities to get vertical. At times, it shows up in a big way. At other times, it doesn't necessarily. The reason why I didn't immediately jump to Dalton Schultz as mm-hmm. most likely is some of that was circumstance of the game where they had to attack downfield and they utilized him that way. I do wonder if they're not back to the wall moments, do they continue with some of these kind of stick routes where Dalton Schultz is kind of stuck in that seven-yard range where just catch the ball and let's move the sticks? And I wonder if he doesn't get pulled back to that place in those circumstances. Hopefully he doesn't. Nico Collins is one where I also wonder how much of that was the quarterback, right? As much as I'm not here for quarterback competition.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Davis Mills, and again, circumstance where his back is against the wall, Davis Mills felt very comfortable. Very comfortable just chucking it up there, dog, as I like saying, right?
Yeah.
Does that continue? Well, if Davis plays again, sure. Mm-hmm. If CJ has the opportunity there, does that continue? And then does that continue again if you're not in a back against the wall circumstance?
Yeah. And red zone to me is the next one at the bottom. Simply because that was spectacular. They went 3 of 4 in the red zone. I mean, you can't ask for a whole lot better than that, other than perfection. At the same time, there have been far too many, you know, Nick Cayley, what are you doing moments.
Well,
you know, maybe he saw the light. Maybe there's some new ideas there.
And this is a undercurrent of what you were talking about here. Is you didn't mention Nick Cayley and his impressive, I think, game. I was going to say game plan, but like I think
game play calling.
Especially down when you got to later instances. In the red zone, I was genuinely impressed by a couple of plays. One of those being the one where you have a little pin and pull and you get Ariante Ursary on the edge with a little bit of a kind of – you had – I can't remember exactly how to describe the play, but there was deception in there. It was things that you had happening where I think it was a motion involved where you have – the defense flowing one direction and you take the ball the other way. It felt like to this point in the season, you haven't had enough of those instances.
And a little reverse pitch.
Yes, where the game plan or the actual play on the field forces the defense into an uncomfortable circumstance. There's been a lot of times where you just ask your offense to go and win on a play, and your play, the actual play called on the field doesn't create advantage. I saw some instances in this game, and I know Clint Sterner did a great job of breaking down the X's and O's of this yesterday after watching tape, where you saw some advantages created. That's all I ever asked from my offense coordinator. You're gonna need your Jimmies and Joes to get out there and do it, but you got to create some advantages. Well, I saw more of that in this game.
Remember last week, one of my big, you know, frustrations was the Texans seem hell bent on calling players not plays in the red zone and at the goal line, and they're just not good enough. This was plays, not players. This was
to some degree. I think
this was that little reverse pitch, the little throw. And by the way, the one play. And this is not a Davis Mills discussion, but the one play I think it's fair to say.
It's always kind of a Davis Mills discussion.
The one play I think it's fair to say, would CJ have done that? Is the touchdown to Dalton Schultz. Because, you know, he came off, he looked, and then he just said, I'm going to throw it high and outside and see if Dalton going to go get it. Now, maybe, but I think it's fair to say, maybe he would have chunked it or done something else.
The place in which I say that I don't think CJ would have in that moment, and look, you know me, I've been in a place where I'm not really hearing
much of this.
Dalton did things CJ wouldn't have in that game. CJ has been so much more. You've seen the clock working on him. You've seen kind of the head whip around as he is looking through his progressions.
Yeah.
He feels a little more frantic in a way that Davis.
I got to get rid of it.
Davis didn't feel that. Now, sometimes the prior game when Davis had to jump in after the injury. I was wondering if Davis was too lethargic in his ability to read, and with obviously the opportunity and the benefit of the full week, it looked like it was just right in that right space. That's the thing that I hope that I continue to see CJ kind of mellow into, for lack of a better word, is finding that comfort to be like, oh, you can wait for this to actually come open. But of course, that comes with, are you able to protect up?
Yeah.
I think that you should be able to do that against the Tennessee Titans team where maybe you might need to put a little bit more attention inward towards Jeffrey Simmons. But if you can do that, I'm not afraid of them creating real havoc up front in front of you. From the text line, most sustainable to least sustainable for them. Nico as weapon, Dalton as weapon, Woody Marks as lead back, red zone due to better play calling, offensive line at 5. And I guess they left the young guys just entirely off that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're least believable there, which fair. They've bounced back and forth on using them, but we'll see. We'll see how this continues to go as we gear up. We continue to move towards the weekend where the Texans will go to Nashville and attempt to sweep the Titans on the season and get themselves to 500. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions as we typically do. Those are presented by the Men's Clinic, and you hear them next on Sports Radio 610.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. And my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.